Listen to the voices of our world.
Not everybody gets Social Security, but about 40 million people do.
Individual accounts are also very dangerous for women because we tend to take time out of the workforce in order to have babies and take care of our families. Well, individual accounts don't cover for the fact that you're not contributing during that time.
Middle-income person is depending for more than half of their retirement income on Social Security.
I really feel as if the American people don't know that people are lying to them.
If you look at the federal government budget as a whole, it's the most solid part of the budget we've got.
Welcome to Voices of Our World, a presentation of this station and Mary Knoll. I'm Eileen Bott. Today we'll discuss your money and my money and whether or not our rightful share is going to be squandered away in the Social Security crisis. Sound familiar? Something President Bush is once again making hearts and minds palpitate with fear, leading us to believe that there's only one choice, his proposal. But this time he knows that in our free country, no one wants to be told that they'll get less and have to pay more. So he's exercising diplomacy, sending Republican emissaries on tour, 60 days in 60 cities. What will we hear? Anything like what our guests today have to say? Stay tuned and judge for yourself. Social Security. Is it truly a crisis? Our guest, Maya Rocky Moore, Vice President of Research and Programs of the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation, says that for the next 15 years, huge sums of money will go into the Social Security Trust Fund. That surplus should be able to keep us in pretty good shape up until about 2042. That's what the Social Security trustees say. At that point, the Social Security Fund will be able to pay about 80% of what we would expect to receive. That's not so bad. And we're talking not changing anything. So we have time. Time to make informed decisions. Why is President Bush in such a rush? The discussion of private accounts is being used to placate an outraged public. Even reputable Wall Street economic analysts don't believe that people will stand a chance of having more money to retire on if this plan comes to pass. Eleanor Ostrinsky speaks with Maya Rocky Moore, Vice President of Research and Programs of the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation.
Okay, so today we have the great pleasure of speaking with Dr. Maya Rocky Moore. She is the Vice President of Research and Programs at the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
What we want to speak about today is this Social Security crisis that seems to be in the news every day. Is it actually a crisis?
No, there is no Social Security crisis. There is a privatization crisis, and we need to understand the difference. Social Security, which is also referred to as the Old Age Survivors and Disability Insurance Program, is expected to be insolvent, quote-unquote, in the year 2042. According to the Social Security actuaries. Now, we have to understand what insolvent means. It doesn't mean the system is completely bankrupt, that there's no money there. It means that the Social Security actuaries estimate that there will be a 20 cent on every dollar shortfall in the year 2042, but you would still have 80% of what is promised by today's current law. And so we have people out there that are saying this is a crisis because they have an agenda that seeks to roll back basically FDR's New Deal in favor of what Bush is calling the ownership society, the notion of these individual accounts. And what I posit to you today and your listeners today is that the privatization effort to establish these individual accounts is the crisis, not Social Security.
Can you give us an idea of how are the Social Security benefits given today?
Yeah. Everybody who's working knows that a FICA tax is taken out. That means the Federal Insurance Contribution Act tax. That's your payroll tax that goes to fund Social Security. You have to work 4 quarters in order to be eligible for Social Security. But once you work those 4 quarters, then everything is available to you in terms of survivor benefits, disability benefits, and retirement benefits. Now, how do they calculate retirement benefits? If you take an early retirement at 62 or a normal retirement at 65, soon to be 67, they estimate the 35 highest years of your earnings, and they drop out the other years where you had very low earnings. For example, if you were a teen working and you were only making $6 an hour. If you are lower income, they give you a higher replacement rate, meaning that they replace a larger percentage of your pre-retirement earnings than higher income folks. Then they calculate the benefits, and that's what you get for your retirement. Now, in terms of disability and survivor, they determine the benefit level based on how many dependents the person had, as well as the earnings level at the time of their disability or death. And so those benefit formulas work in very different ways, but they're all structured out of the same Social Security trust fund.
And there are particular groups that are going to be hurt more.
Children, widowers, women, African Americans will be harmed. And this is the reason why. Social Security is not just a retirement plan. People who are promoting privatization want you to focus just on retirement. But Social Security is a three-pronged program. It consists of retirement that we all know about. It also consists of survivor benefits, those benefits that are paid out to the children and family dependents of deceased workers. And it also contains disability benefits, those workers who have become disabled in the prime of their work lives, and they have to draw down on their Social Security disability benefits. And so individual accounts are a threat to many of these populations that depend on those type of benefits because the individual accounts, for example, African American males, they have a shorter life expectancy than anybody else. So if an African American male were to die in his 30s, he will not have had enough built up in his individual account in order to make up for the deep cuts in the survivor benefits. That means when he dies, his children are going to be living in deep poverty. And so that's a problem. Individual accounts are also very dangerous for women because we tend to take time out of the workforce in order to have babies and take care of our families. Well, guess what? In individual accounts, they don't cover for the fact that you're not contributing during that time. Women and those who are unemployed will have 0 years of earnings where they're not contributing anything to those accounts. And so at the end of the day, they're likely to have less adequate benefits than anybody else.
You wrote an article which I thought was really very good. It was called Bamboozled, The Destruction of Social Security. Mm-hmm. In Bamboozled, you wrote that the African-American community would be more affected than maybe some of the other communities. Could you tell us why?
Families, because of their different circumstances in this country, I don't need to tell you that African Americans are traditionally lower earners. So we tend to benefit from the progressivity of the program in terms of having a higher replacement rate for low income workers. So we use the system differently because of our circumstances in this country. African Americans are also disproportionately without health insurance. So are Hispanic Americans, by the way. And so this plays in a way that makes us have higher rates of disability at a younger age and higher rates of death at a younger age. And that means we have a different relationship to the Social Security system. And we would be endangered and imperiled by the system of privatization because the act of creating these accounts and creating this hole in Social Security means that we have no guarantee of adequacy of benefits in the event of the death of a loved one or the event of a disability. At the same time, we're exposed to greater risk on the stock market. No guarantee or no certainty that we'll have enough income in whatever individual account is created in order to meet the basic needs of our family. And so it's a very, very dire situation indeed. All you have to do is look at the Congressional Budget Office. They've done the estimates in terms of how this would play out. And they estimate that even if we do nothing to close the long-term solvency gap in Social Security, you will have less under a privatized system of individual accounts than if we do nothing to the system. And that is what really needs to be told to the American people.
So what is the impetus behind the Bush administration's move to privatize Social Security?
Well, get this. There are several reasons. But, of course, under a privatized system, Wall Street wins big. You have the money managers who stand to make buku bucks on these individual accounts because they're going to be charging fees. Every time you want to change the composition of your portfolio, they get to charge you fees. They get to charge you an annual fee. And so with all the fees that will be charged to all these individual accounts, Wall Street wins big. The people who are already rich will get richer. And then there are people who just have this philosophy that government shouldn't be involved in providing this type of security to American families. And that, I think, is, you know, where the administration and some other people are coming from. Because when you really think of it, Social Security is a life insurance program, disability insurance program, and a retirement insurance program all rolled into one. It's valuable, extremely valuable. Most American working families would not be able to afford it on the private market. Yet there are some people that believe that government should be out of that business. And so they're seeking to destroy, basically, the system that was created by FDR so that they can pursue their own narrow agenda.
If Social Security has been a benefit to so many for so long, why is it that we are led to believe this narrow agenda?
Mm-hmm. There has been a project, at least for 20 years, actually, since Social Security was created, it's had its objectors. And, of course, their earliest objectors were Republicans, and they continue to be to this day. But for at least 20 years, there has been a very consistent effort to tell, especially young people, that they cannot count on Social Security being there upon their retirement. So a lot of people have come to believe the rhetoric, which is hype, when in reality, as I told you earlier, it's just a long-term shortfall, a 20-cent on the dollar shortfall in the year 2042, 2052, according to the Congressional Budget Office. And so basically, I'm telling you, don't believe the hype. And young people need to be especially wary, because I forgot to tell you that young people are bearing the cost burden of all of this. Because Social Security is a pay-as-you-go system, that means that young people are currently paying for the current retirees. They'll be paying for baby boomers' retirement. They'll also be paying to create their own individual account, which is a double whammy. They'll also be paying their taxpayers' funds to close the federal budget deficit, because guess what? Individual accounts are the gift that keeps on giving, in terms of they can't just pay for it by diverting money from Social Security. They have to continue to take money out of the general budget in order to make these things work. And so young people will experience a triple whammy, at least, because we will be paying disproportionately for all of the shift and for the future obligations. And that means that we especially will receive, and I say we because I'm 33 years old, a negative rate of return in the future, because whatever we may earn in an individual account won't close the gap in what we paid out in terms of current retirees, in terms of the transition costs, and in terms of the money that's going to be coming from the general budget.
Why can't we come up with a new way to make sure that there is no shortfall, that there is Social Security benefits as they currently stand for all people for many years to come?
Let me tell you something. The president had an opportunity. When he came into the office, there was a surplus of funds that were available. He could have directed that money towards Social Security so that it could be solvent for the next 75 years and beyond. He chose not to. He chose to give tax cuts, four consecutive tax cuts that disproportionately went to his wealthy friends and wealthy corporations. And so thank you for having me. I'm very passionate about this issue because I really feel as if the American people don't know that people are lying to them, and they need to understand the facts.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Should we change Social Security? Email us. Go to www.marynoel.org/voices. Just click on Contact Us. Or you can call us at 1-877-MARY-KNOWLE. That's 1-877-MARYKNOLL.